Finish your brackets. Get ready to soak up the madness. America's favorite tournament is back. The Vols are a number two seed seeking the program's first ever Final Four appearance. Welcome into the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside the Knoxville News Sentinels, Mike Wilson and John Adams. Guys, we kind of broke this down on the podcast with Mike last week that if Tennessee showed well in the SEC tournament, we thought they could get a number one seed. If they bowed out early, we thought that would cement them on the two line. And exactly as we discussed last week, that's what has come to pass. So Tennessee is the two in the region with Purdue as the one and Creighton as the three. So before we get into any predictions or how far Tennessee could go, what do you guys think of this draw for Tennessee and where the Vols landed in the bracket?
Yeah, the Blake. I think the first weekend in Charlotte, I think, is very friendly for Tennessee. I don't see a serious threat there. Virginia stylistically might be the most problematic of anything Tennessee sees, but they've got to get through a play-in game and Texas in order to get to Tennessee in the first place. And it's not a good Virginia team either. But just that tempo and that style is the one thing about that that I love from a matchup perspective. Texas has familiarity, obviously, with Rodney Terry being a guy who's very knowledgeable about Rick Barnes. So there's that element, but I don't think any of those teams in that first weekend are huge threats. I think Creighton, however, it as a potential Sweet 16 matchup, is a massive, massive threat for Tennessee.
John, your thoughts on this draw?
Yeah, I thought it was a really favorable draw overall, because I think if Tennessee were going to be in any region as a number two seed with a number one seed Purdue, that's the number one seed I think Tennessee could beat. I like that matchup better. Played Purdue a close game in November, 4-point game, and Zakai Ziegler wasn't. He was just coming into form from that knee injury a year ago. So, yeah, I like that aspect of it, but I agree with Mike. I think Creighton will be a huge obstacle for Tennessee to overcome.
Yeah, when we were on this pod about a month, 5 weeks ago, we sort of picked like a sleeper team that wasn't a blue blood, wasn't ranked in the top about six or seven in the nation that we thought could make the Final Four. And I really liked Creighton at that point. And so I think, well, I can't fade the Blue Jays now. But, you know, they're a team that obviously has a lot of scoring punch in their three stars in Trey Alexander, Baylor Shireman, and Ryan Kalkbrenner, and a potential Sweet 16 matchup should Tennessee and Creighton make it that far. I guess big picture, guys, if we're seeing Creighton being a potential hurdle, thorn in the Vols' side in the Sweet 16, how do you think that would play? Like, this is a season where Tennessee had hopes of a number one seed. They got the best, you know, pure score that Rick Barnes has had in his Tennessee tenure. How do you think a Sweet 16 and out fairing in the NCAA tournament would kind of go down with this fan base? Is that like, okay, another Sweet 16, we'll take it? Or is it sort of Elite Eight for bust for this, or bust for this group, do you think?
I lean to the Elite Eight kind of being what this team needs to get to. Because of what you said, Dalton Knecht is the best pure scorer that Tennessee has had with Rick Barnes. Might be the best pure scorer in the country right now. I think RJ Davis at North Carolina is the only other one that I would really put in that conversation in terms of just pure scoring ability. So Elite Eight's where you got to kind of set your sights. I do think that's where we talk about draw. Creighton is a bummer for Tennessee to draw as a potential three. I think Baylor as a three is much friendlier. That's a team that if I was Tennessee, I would have wanted to see on that three line. I think the matchup is much better. I think you need to get to the second weekend. There's no question about that. But I think beating a good team and getting to the Elite Eight is what this program needs to do with this team, because this is the best Final Four shot that Rick Barnes has had, I think. I think it's better than that 2018-19 team because of the guard scoring power being the difference on this team opposed to that one. And guard play can often carry you this time of year. But, yeah, if this bracket chalks at the 1 and 3 spots, Tennessee struggled with really good bigs, and Creighton and Purdue would both bring in really, really good bigs.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I think there's there are a lot of people that really like Rick Barnes. They like him as a person and as a coach, and his overall record speaks for itself. So I think I don't think a lot of those fans are going to be sad more than angry if Tennessee falters. But I still think Mike's expectations for the fan base are realistic. I think if you make the Elite Eight, I don't think anybody will be devastated if Tennessee doesn't make the Final Four. I think it will feel like, okay, that's pretty good. You're a top 10 team. You made the Elite Eight. Sweet 16 would just kind of be more the same. And as Mike pointed out, Tennessee has that little extra boost that it hasn't had in the past. It's never had a player like Dalton Knecht. So you would think maybe he could carry you over that hump. I think that would be a really interesting matchup if Chalkholz and Tennessee and Purdue met in a final, a regional final with the Final Four on the line, and there you have two programs that have had a lot of success, but not success in the NCAA tournament at the highest level. So you'd have somebody would have to win that game, and so that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, unfairly or not, this time of year we sort of hear that old nickname of second round Rick come up. I've said that I actually think a more accurate nickname would be Sweet 16 Rick. He's been to 8 Sweet 16 appearances and then, you know, of course only has the one Final Four at Texas. So I think second round Rick is a bit harsh. He's more been a Sweet 16 type of guy. So let's look at that potential Sweet 16 a little bit more. We've highlighted in on Creighton as possibly being the team that Tennessee would have to face there. But on the sixth line in the region is South Carolina, team Tennessee's faced twice this season. They've split with. If Tennessee could choose, do you think they'd be better off facing South Carolina for what would be a third time or going up against Creighton in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I think the South Carolina one's interesting because Mississippi State played Tennessee better than anyone all season in SEC play. I mean, obviously, we just saw the SEC tournament game. Stylistically, experience-wise, whatever that matchup is brutal for Tennessee. South Carolina was the second most brutal matchup in the SEC. The way they play defense, the way they do things was really hard. And Tennessee was held below 70 points in both matchups. Those were the only times in the SEC regular season they scored fewer than 70 points in a game. I think you'd still rather see South Carolina, though. Creighton has an elite big man in Kalkbrenner. 17.1 points a game at 7'1". That is the kind of guy who has given Tennessee real problems. Tolu Smith is a reason why Tennessee struggled with Mississippi State. They haven't done well against those really, really good big men throughout the season. I think you want to avoid that. The familiarity with South Carolina pays off, I think. I think also that neutral site element, I would still pick Tennessee in that matchup. So, yeah, I think you're better off if you see South Carolina, just given you know them, you're familiar with what you're going to get, and that's going to pay off this time of year.
Yeah, I look at South Carolina, too, as a team that's it's overachieved. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I think in one poll it was ranked last in preseason in the SEC. So I don't know what the expectation should be for South Carolina in the NCAA tournament. I think it's already overachieved. But Creighton is, again, that's a proven program and a program that the NCAA tournament is not for a foreign land to it. I think it would be very comfortable in an NCAA tournament. I'm not so sure about South Carolina.
I'm curious about this thought experiment, guys, because Mike, you mentioned that 2018-19 team that was ranked number one in the nation at one time, which had been Rick's best team up until arguably this season, best team at Tennessee anyway. And as I thought about that, Mike, kind of you handicapping this team's chances versus that team's chances, when I think back to what I thought about those Vols with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, I thought going into the tournament that was the type of team that maybe could win a national championship. I don't feel that as strongly about this group. I mean, I think it's plausible. I think they could get to a Final Four, but I don't think I feel as strongly that this team could win at all as I did about that 18-19 team that lost to Purdue in the Sweet 16. And I guess I'm asking you to psychoanalyze me, but I'm wondering why you think maybe that is, because I'm probably not alone in thinking that, right? I think there was maybe a little bit higher hopes that 18-19 team could win it all. Do you think it's just some NCAA tournaments have sort of piled up the last few years, ending Sweet 16 or second round or earlier? Or do you think maybe it's because that 18-19 team was ranked number one in the nation for a while, or maybe I'm alone in thinking this, that, you know, I don't feel as strongly that this group could win the whole thing as maybe I did that particular season.
I'm going to add one more thought to the previous question, because I'm not sure South Carolina gets past Oregon in the first round, for what it's worth. I think in Folly Dante would give South Carolina a lot of problems. And that's a team that plays up tempo. And so we'll see if South Carolina gets out of that in the first place. As for that question, I think there is the psychoanalytical part of that where you say that was such a breakthrough type team. I mean, the year before won the SEC, they were a 3 seed, but that team was that first team in, I don't know, John, 12-ish years, maybe 08. I think 2010, 08 was probably the last time Tennessee had a team they felt that good about going to the tournament. I think 2008 was the prior 2 seed under Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, so the 2010 team is the one that made the Elite Eight, isn't it? Yeah, it lost to Michigan State. Yeah, but the expectations for the other team were really high, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that team, when you see that first breakthrough, you're more excited to think, well, this team's going to do it. This team's got the potential to do it. But it is, to me, what you've said, where there's now, what, 4 teams in the NCAA tournament past that, and the previous 3 bowed out. Last year's obviously reached a Sweet 16, but was a very flawed team limping into that game without Zakai Ziegler. You had Jemai Meshack running the point for a large part, and that he plays more 4 this year than he does point. So that kind of tells you where that roster was. So I do think this team is better built for March, but I also think there is validity to the thought that that team had a better chance to win it all. And some of that does come from the maybe first time of seeing that in a long time.
Yeah.
John, can you remember what you were thinking about that 18-19 team? And if you do you think you feel like this team has as good a chance as what you did back then?
Yeah, I think my only problem with Tennessee now is what you guys have just pointed out. It's the history. I mean, I don't know. I changed my opinion somewhat. I lowered my opinion of Tennessee for losing to Kentucky. I just kind of dismissed the Mississippi State game in the SEC tournament. Those kind of games happen. But it was a Kentucky game, the way Tennessee's defense didn't hold up against Kentucky. I know that's a tremendously talented offensive team, but I just could see that kind of game happening in the NCAA tournament. That kind of lowered my expectation for this team. And so, as I said, I look at if that hadn't happened, I would be picking Tennessee to reach Final Four right now, because I think the bracket with the number one seed, I mean, if you're number two seed, I think the first thing you do is look at it and see, well, can I beat this number one seed? I think it can, if it can get there. I just guess I just don't trust it. I thought very highly of the other team. That's the team that isn't that the team that lost to Loyola? These teams Purdue. Run together, huh?
Purdue.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that was a brutal loss. I mean, it was a tough game. So I thought the 22 team, after rolling through the SEC tournament, I thought that team was Final Four bound. And even last year, when Tennessee beat Duke, I know that was a very young team Duke fielded, but it was also a very talented team. And I thought that was a huge win for Tennessee. We talk about Barnes's failure in the postseason. That to me was a really significant postseason win. And so then I was saying, man, this team could go to the Final Four, I was thinking, and then it loses its next time out. So I guess with me, it's just all the history. I say, okay, this team could do it, but then I look at the history and I think it could do it, but it probably won't.
If this team could add one piece that you think would maybe solidify its chances of Final Four, national championship, of course, even in today's portal era, you can't go in and add a piece before the NCAA tournament. But what is sort of that missing element? I think for me, I guess I would like to see a supporting cast, like in particular, a number two scorer that I felt really good about, that I thought this guy can drop 18, 20 points. And if Dalton Connect has a bad game, if the defense finds some way to contain him, which we haven't seen many times this year, but we've seen a few times, I feel like I would feel a little stronger about this group if I felt like there was a very dependable number two score. And I mean, Tennessee's got different guys that can go for 15, Zakai Ziegler and others, but I just don't feel like it's as ironclad as, say, a team like Creighton, where they got three established guys that can go for 18 plus, you know, on any given night. And so I think for me, I'm looking for that really, really solid number two score, where with Tennessee this year, you know, your number two guy kind of comes and goes, and sometimes there really is no number two guy.
I would choose a big man, frankly, like a Tolu Smith. I think Tennessee really leans obviously on Jonas Adu and Tobe Awaka as kind of the only two bigs that really truly play. They get some from JP Estrella once in a while, but those are the two guys. And when those two guys play soft or badly, Tennessee's beatable. And that was the case against Mississippi State. That was the case at A&M. That was the case against South Carolina the first time. That, to me, is Tennessee's potential flaw in March, is big men. So give me an Infali Dante from Oregon, a Tolu Smith from Mississippi State, a guy that you can throw the ball down to and get a bucket. Because that is also, I think, where Rick Barnes thrives, is that inside-out three-point game. This team's been so different offensively from those past ones in terms of high ball screen actions, isolation moves for Dalton. It's different the ways they're getting scoring than they have in the past. But I think Rick Barnes is at his best when he's got a four or a five, specifically a four. He can throw the ball down to, and that guy can do a lot of things. And this team doesn't have that. That to me, is the missing piece. I don't worry about the guards. I think Zakai is established enough as the number two option, but having a big man, you know, every single game, what you can get from them, that would take this team to a level where you're talking about them being right on par with UConn.
Well, see, when you bring up the post play and talk about the post play in this region with Creighton and certainly with Purdue, maybe it's not as favorable a region as I thought initially, listening to you guys say that, and the point's well taken. I'll go another direction. If Tennessee could add something, I would add the All-SEC Santiago Vescovi, an All-SEC guard, really a combo guard who can play point if necessary, a good defender, plays hard, experienced, been in so many big games. If you just could bring back that guy and you could know he's going to get 16, 15 points and maybe hit three threes, that to me might be just enough to push Tennessee over the top. I think Zakai Ziegler, though certainly not to score a connect, is, I think you can pretty much count on him as a double-figure scorer. You know, he gets hot sometimes from three, but to me, Vescovi, he's averaging, I think, like 3 points a game in the last seven games, and he's totally lost confidence in his shot. But you bring back the old Vescovi, I really think that would be all it would take to get through this regional.
Yeah, to John's point, Mike, what do you think became of the All-SEC Vescovi?
Yeah, that's obviously been a puzzling one all season, because that's a two-time first-team all-conference guy. I thought early in the year I was seeing a player figuring out a role, being used to being the number one guy, especially late last season when Zakai Ziegler was out. Everything ran through Santiago Vescovi. And going into this year, that role changed a lot because Dalton Connect's the number one guy. And your number two guy early in the year, I don't think Tennessee knew who it was going to be fully. Like going into the year, I thought Santi would be the third leading scorer. I thought it'd be Dalton and then either Zakai, Josiah, or Jordan Gainey. It obviously hasn't fallen exactly that way, but the top end pretty close to it. I watched a guy for the first couple months seem to be feeling out a role next to Dalton. And now it's a guy who I just don't know fully is settled into a role. I think there is an element of he needs to just shoot the dang ball. I thought he did better with that the past two games. I think he took five against Kentucky, five three-pointers, and he took four against Mississippi State. I also thought he got a couple rough bounces against Mississippi State because two of those looks were out. It's a guy who needs to see a couple shots go down because at some point they're going to need him, and it's probably going to happen this weekend or the next weekend. And if they go out there and suddenly get 13 points from Santiago Vescovi and get the usual from everyone else, that's the recipe, as John is kind of saying, where you beat some of those teams because then you've got a third or a fourth guy who's scoring that. Because realistically, Tennessee wasn't going to win a national championship with Santi as its number one guy, but it dang well can with him as its third guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, meet in the middle. He needs to not be the number five scorer and not the number one scorer. If he can meet in the middle and be that three guy, that would be really valuable. I agree.
Santiago Vescovi hitting a couple shots will free up Dalton in a lot of ways. And I think that's something Rick Barnes has preached is, Dalton, pass the ball. These guys make shots because everyone's lives will get a lot easier.
All right, some prediction time here on the way out the door. I kind of know where John is leaning because we talked bracket overview on our SEC podcast as well this week. But maybe John will surprise me and reverse course here in the couple hours since I last talked to him. Looking for your final four team from this bracket and also how far Tennessee will advance. I'll start off. I think probably kind of tipped my hand here. I think Tennessee gets to the Sweet 16. I think it'll be a good game with Creighton. I just really like Creighton. I think Creighton wins that game. I think Creighton meets Purdue in the Elite Eight, although I think Purdue could have its hands full with Gonzaga if that matchup occurs. Gonzaga's best teams. They got a good big man, and matchup wise, I wonder if they could hang with Purdue a little bit. But I'll say Purdue gets the Elite Eight. Creighton gets past Purdue, and Creighton goes all the way to the national championship game, where it loses to UConn, and Tennessee's left wondering how to feel about another Sweet 16 finish.
My prediction is essentially the exact same. I have UConn over Creighton in the title game, so I've got Creighton going to the Final Four out of this group. I'm with you. I love the Big East this year, Blake. Some of those teams that got left out of this tournament, I think, could have made noise in the tournament. You look at a Providence, a St. John's, a Seton Hall. Those are teams that I also thought could have won games in this tournament. So that's where I see it going. So I see Tennessee in the Sweet 16 as well. I think there's got to be an element of not now, but you're going to kick yourself later for losing that Mississippi State game because that West bracket's a joke. I think Tennessee would have cakewalked through the West. Just don't see, and obviously some of those things would have fallen differently because SEC teams wouldn't be meeting that second round. I also thought the South was a lot easier too because Houston is so aggressively flawed right now as the number one seed. So if you're the number two in there, I also would have liked the opportunity there. But Tennessee got a nice draw for the first weekend, but I think a brutal draw for the second weekend.
Yeah, I've got a couple of picks for Tennessee.
You got two or three brackets.
Well,
going?
I picked Tennessee to reach in my column. You know, the day of the selection, I picked Tennessee to reach the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then when I started filling out a bracket, I said, "I like Creighton going to the Final Four." So it's the contradiction there is pretty strong. So. Let's see, what can I come up with a third prediction? I don't see it losing to the I guess I should pick it to make the Final Four on the podcast.
But it doesn't sound like you believe in that, John. That sounds pretty
I think, but you know what? We talk about, well, Tennessee, you know, would have a hard time getting past Creighton. But who knows? Creighton might lose in the second round. This tournament is so weird. But if it ended up where Purdue and Tennessee would play for the for a berth in the Final Four, you guys have kind of convinced me that Purdue would prevail because of the big man.
And, so what's your final verdict here, John? I'm hearing some waffling between Final Four, Elite Eight, and Sweet 16.
I have no idea what my final verdict is.
All right, but, me and Mike think Tennessee to the Sweet 16, losing to Creighton. John, sure of one thing, he has no idea.
See, we're being kind of conviction out here, Blake. I don't know what John's doing waffling over here, but I'll say this, John. I think Tennessee could beat Purdue. Purdue is very reliant to me on how a game is officiated, and Zach Edey needs a certain type of officiating, And the final 5 minutes of regulation and overtime against Wisconsin were an abomination. The fouls getting called on Wisconsin aren't fouls in seventh grade, let alone in a Big Ten championship game. So if Purdue's not getting those calls, I think a lot of teams can stick with them, because Edie shoots 11 free throws a game. I mean, that's where 8 to 10 of his points come from every game. So I think Tennessee's got a shot there, because I also think Purdue, I really like those sophomore guards who I thought were the major issue last year with Lawyer and Smith. I think Tennessee, as long as one of those guys doesn't go for 27 like Lawyer did in Maui, Tennessee's better at guard, I think, overall than Purdue is. So there's an opportunity there, I think, if the Vols match up with Purdue, that Tennessee could win that game.
Has he convinced you, John?
Well, do you think so? I'm just wondering about Purdue. If Purdue, I mean, Purdue could lose early in this tournament. I mean, Gonzaga. Purdue, with its history, it's as shaky as Tennessee. And just because it has a dominant big man doesn't mean it couldn't falter early. So who knows? Well, if I've got to pick one, I'll pick Tennessee to make the Elite Eight.
All right. Elite Eight, okay. losing to someone over there. Maybe Purdue, yeah, maybe somebody Purdue, else. Who
maybe
knows?
Gonzaga. Who knows?
All right. Fair enough. Mike will have all the coverage of the tournament over at KnoxNews.com for however the Vols are in it. John will have the commentary. And if Tennessee goes on a run, you can expect to hear more from us on this very podcast. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.